You're listening to The Hawk, 101.5 FM in Hamilton, Ontario.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Hi, this is Sneaker from the Blues Bones, and we're a band from Belgium. And you're latched on to the Blues Source International with Ken Wallace. Let's keep playing those European blues.
Ah, the Blues Bones, what a great group from Belgium. And we're going to roll out some more European blues, but first let's swing over to North America. The title of the album says it all, live from El Paso. This is Laura Tate. We're going to hear If That Ain't Love and Nobody Gets Hurt. Let's get down and enjoy Laura Tate.
Thank you, Terry and Jeff. Thank you. Thank you, guys. Thank you,
Laura
Doug.
Tate from Live from El Paso. We've got Duke Robillard. He's the guy that started the Roomful of Blues band. He's got a release out called Duke's Blues Bash, and it sure is. We're going to hear Rock Alley, and Do You Mean It? Duke Robillard on Blues Source International.
Do you mean it? When you hurt me so?
Duke Robillard. He's having his Duke's Blues Bash. From Dublin, Ireland, we had this gal on the show a little while ago, Grainne Duffy. Her release is called Voodoo Blues. We're going to hear Shine It On Me, and No Matter What I Do, Grainne Duffy is going to entertain from Voodoo Blues.
Grainne Duffy rocking to you from Ireland, and you're listening to the Blues Source International with Ken Wallace. Let's roll out some Voodoo Blues. Yeah.
Grania Duffy from Voodoo Blues. We've got rockin' Johnny Bergen. His release is called No Border Blues. We're going to hear One Day You're Gonna Get Lucky and Rattlesnake. This is Johnny Bergen from No Border Blues.
See you today. One day, little girl, you're gonna get lucky. See you today. That'll be the day. It'll find out I got everything you need.
This is Johnny Bergen from Del Mar Records in Chicago, and you're listening to Ken Wallace, Blues Source International. Let's keep those good blues rolling.
door. You ain't nothing but a rattlesnake.
Johnny Bergen from No Border Blues. From Ireland, we've got Mary Stokes and Brian Palm. They are part of the Mary Stokes Band. We aired part one of an interview with them last week. We will get to part two after we hear one tune. Roll with the punches. This is the Mary Stokes Band from Coming Home.
One thing I've learned after all these years, you're gonna save yourself tears. Stop trying to figure out who was wrong and who was right. Got to move along, baby. Yeah, there's a ride. You've got to roll with the punches. Ooh, you gotta go with the flow. staring at that old photograph. Walking around the neighborhood, you're gonna tear it right in half. Only one way you can clear your tormented mind.
This is part two of our interview with Mary Stokes and Brian Palm of the Mary Stokes Band. How do you two decide on what songs you're going to pick? Do you write your stuff together? Or do you do it separately?
Well, I have to say that sometimes it's awkward because we're very close to each other. but nonetheless, I mean...
Wake up, I have a great idea.
Yeah. But I would say again that there are things... Okay, there's certain things that I would be aware of as a woman singing, and this has always been my feeling about being a woman singing blues, that I would choose and I grew up with and I understand and recognize the power and the potential for a kind of flip of what would be the sort of chess masters. So as a root for me, like my love of Little Walter, but also of Wolf, of Helen Wolf, of, you know, Sonny Boy, of, you know, all of that power. To be honest, I think with Wolf, sometimes it comes across as just being about power, whereas it's actually so beautifully dynamic. Things that as a singer, I really need to identify with the lyric. So these are two things that a beautiful melody or a powerful melody that has dynamics. We have the story of Bo Diddley on this one because I'm just such a big Bo Diddley fan. And again, that's about the rhythm. So the things I identify with would be the lyrics, the power, the capacity to have dynamics, and then also rhythm. Then in terms of choosing songs, we work together on things. In other words, I don't say that I would reject Brian's ideas, but...
the blues band template of Muddy Waters Band is what we sort of based most of our show, the ability to gig on. So the fact that it featured harp and, you know, powerful lead vocals with a Chicago style blues band, that was our first real entry. Now, over the years, you know, it's not that you want to leave that behind, but musically you do have other ideas, and it's important to have original songs somewhere up your sleeve. We just sort of took some of the almost basic catalog rhythms and put some words to it. That could be right out of the blues catalog of how to write a song, which is the way they've been done for years, is take a little bit of someone else's idea and something else. I mean, the riff on, you mentioned the story of Bo Diddley, that riff we based the whole song on is a little section of a Kinks song. So it's not even really from the blues catalog at all. It bears little resemblance to Bo Diddley's version of that same tune. So
yeah, there's also so one thing that I would say about choosing songs is that I always, as I said, I listen to the lyrics, or I think about the lyrics because I'm delivering them. So I really have to. I won't say that the weather influences everything in Ireland, but we certainly think about it a lot.
I understand that you played with a Canadian icon, Jeff Healey. Is that correct?
You know, it was such a pleasure to meet Jeff. And we were very fortunate in a range and a period of time where a lot of blues artists came to Ireland. We had these most extraordinary of meeting people like Taj Mahal or like Bo Diddley and working Hubert. With Kerry Bell and meeting Hubert Sumlin. And then, but also at that time, Jeff Feely was playing. So Jeff was playing that gig. And so we were at the gig and Jeff had finished. I don't think we did the opening show for him that night.
No, we were in there's a very famous bar where I will say celebrity VIP, but it's kind of you have to know the guy in the door to get in.
Yeah.
And that's where we were drinking when he.
So we got to know Jeff and we were having a really good time talking. Jeff said to me, he said, I wonder, you know, I need to use the bathroom. And because I realized, obviously, with his sight difficulties, and I said, no problem, here, come with me, I'll show you where it is. A crowded bar and a crowded bathroom, may I say. But anyway, I didn't really think that much about it, being a woman on the road, you know, you got to get used to kind of a certain amount of flexibility, shall we say, and needs must, and you just shout loudly before you go into a men's toilet and say, I'm sorry, guys. Yeah. So I had Jeff he had his hand on my elbow as we did. And, you know, so I was walking in and it was as I was entering, you know, having hollered in that I was facilitating Jeff to come in and use the bathroom that I realized, hang on, what am I doing here? I'm walking into the men's toilet. So anyway, I stayed outside and someone facilitated him coming back out. But he was such a charming and lovely guy. So then he came down.
So the next night we were doing another gig in another famous opera house, as that happens.
Yeah.
And he came down and jammed with us, which was great. He jammed with us. He walked around and played the guitar, not, you know, in the lap steel style he was known for, but he played it as per normal. And after we did a couple of numbers and I said, oh, direct from the USA, Jeffy. He said, man, I'm Canadian.
Yeah. Again, the album is coming home. It is absolutely fantastic. Where can music fans get a hold of this album?
So we have releases on Bandcamp. And that's kind of quite a deliberate thing in that it is a facility through which people can access it. Now, we have the copies of the album and we'll be availing or making those available for
people.
Well,
we have a Facebook page.
We have our Facebook page. Also, it's about, you see, again, I think it's important for me, I would feel, is that we are the organization. So we do, and we make the commitment to get the album to people. We want people to enjoy the music. So again, it isn't through very convoluted systems. It's about being as direct as possible and just making sure people can access it. So I would encourage anyone who likes the album just to get contact. And again, the email through Bandcamp, that comes through directly to me. The reality also is over the years that because we gigged so much, and I really give Brian complete credit for this because of his encouragement to have products and to have recordings, to do things and T-shirts and other stuff, but merchandising. But the interesting reality was that we sold at gigs. And I think most blues musicians will find that this is a challenge in a different way because actually so many blues artists rely on gigs, not least for the experience, the gig and the expression, but also in terms of those attendant pieces of business that can actually make the difference between either being viable to tour or indeed it being viable to further record or to keep going. So, I mean, you know, it is interesting that this is unusual in many respects because we would have expected, we've just got a run of CDs, but we would have been, you know, after gigs, you know, everyone knows when you receive all your CDs, that's very exciting. But sometimes if they sit in your space, and they look like they're not going somewhere, that can be distressing.
My personal white elephant.
Yeah, so bringing CDs to gigs, you would be selling, you know, hell for leather because people love souvenirs, so they love to bring something back.
You know, when we were sort of in the 80s, the period we were speaking about earlier, Dublin was abuzz with, oh, who's going to get signed and record companies this, and nobody would do anything unless it was all, I've signed up to Mother Records or U2, this and that. Where we decided very early on, because they weren't beating a path to our door, we were gigging and gigging, and we gigged 300 nights a year. And we just said, well, if no one else is going to help us make a record, we'll start. And we started with, of all things, the lowly cassette tape, and then moved on to, I think, 3 or 4 cassettes. And then our first album was a compilation, and we just kept going, doing it ourselves. Now the pendulum has swung completely back to the point where people are saying the record company isn't going to help you, and do it yourself, and that's the way to get anything out of it. If you want to see any money, streaming and all is only for, you know, not for the likes of us, let's say. We're quite good at sort of stuffing the envelopes and putting the stamp on them. And people are always very happy to have got their CD, as we said we would. And that is, you know, that's about making sure that you do leave something too. I mean, as an artist, you want something beyond the gigs that were great and that no one remembers anymore, in places that are gone. And to actually see that in our own lifetime, famous places that we had packed with 2,000 people, you know, there's a shopping center there now, you sort of realize the road goes on forever. And if you make an effort at recording, you will have to go through the following things. Yeah. Everyone in the band bitches, they don't want to do it. And nobody wants to pay their share. So you say, okay, well, we'll do it ourselves. Who gives a shit? Keep moving. You know, the Canadian said Vimy Ridge would be my one of my influences in life, you know.
They are.
They're stuck in, clean the place up.
When you have musicians and you have something that has a kind of an energy, that really is exciting. And what I'm speaking of here now is our great fortune through our friend, a bass player, Chris Byrne, who plays on this album, who introduced us to Sarah Michelle on the guitar in the last couple of years. I have to say that Sarah Michelle's guitar playing and her professionalism and her interest in recording was something that we really felt deserved to have the sort of capture moment.
I thoroughly have enjoyed meeting you and talking with you, and I hope someday I get over there, and I hope someday maybe you can get back over to Canada.
That's fantastic, and thank you so much. It's great to be to hear it and to know that people are hearing it all across the world. Thank you so much, Ken.
If you don't help me, baby,
Many thanks to Mary and Brian for joining us again. The album is coming home. It's the Mary Stokes Band. Let's travel over to Northwest Indiana. This is the sultry voice of Mandolin. Her release is called Wrecked. We're going to hear the title track and Baby on the Run. Mandolin on Blue Source International. My fears in the wind. Up another version of Blues Source International. Thanks for tuning in. We will catch you again next week.